Nova 103.5, it is a Wednesday morning. It's 3 minutes past 8 o'clock and I'm privileged to have two great studio guests. They are very well-known people, so I'm a little bit starstruck. I mean, I met Michelle McLean in high school years and years ago. She won't remember me because she's pretty, you see. Anyway, Michelle, it's lovely to see you again. The last time, in fact, that we saw each other was at a golf day at Rossmont. You were there. Can't remember what the occasion was, but we did an outside broadcast there.
Yeah, I think it was for my golf day, Michelle McLean Children's Trust.
There
golf
we go.
Day.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah. So that
great.
Was.
Do you play golf? I can't remember.
No, that it's a good walk spoiled. So no, I tried it once. I don't have the temperament for it. And with us as well is Gary Bailey, the very famous Manchester United goalkeeper from way back in the day. You actually were with Sir Alex Ferguson, who many people now view as one of the greatest football managers of all time.
Yep, yeah, he certainly was. I mean, I think it was over 26 years, won something like 40-odd trophies. The guy's a genius. Pity he's still not there, because the moment he left, what was it, 12, 13 years ago, I don't think United have won anything significant since then. By the way, you haven't linked the two of us together. That I'm her husband.
We didn't just meet in the
passage. I'm so sorry. It's actually Michelle McLean Bailey now, right? You go by the double barrel?
Yeah, when I feel like it, yeah.
It's
which is
Michelle
not often.
Okay, so depending on who it is you're with, it's a case of like, no, I'm Michelle McLean tonight. Tomorrow night will be McLean Bailey. Yeah. All right, so you guys are now based in Miami. When did you leave SA? That must have been about 2013. Was it around?
Yeah,
about then?
It was. It was the end of 2013. We got married in 2013, and I got the option to go to the States and work in soccer. And the time my kids wanted to study abroad, Michelle's son Luke as well. So we just thought that's a great opportunity to get them into good universities, get good degrees there, and look at work. And so all six of us two and the four kids. A blended family emigrated, and immigration is, it is tough, especially when you take teenagers.
Yeah, immigrating to a new country, starting new jobs. So we left our television jobs in South Africa. And also, you know, the kids acclimatizing to a new environment and new schools and
new ways of saying things. For example, acclimatize in America is acclimate.
Acclimate.
So you've got to change all these sort of words that make you sound like a real foreigner. The kids start picking up American accents. But now, 10 years later, I mean, Misha's boy, for example, is now working at Tesla in Houston. Wow. And you're like, wow, you know.
And Gary's son is a helicopter pilot.
In Hawaii.
In Hawaii. So you're like, it's not pop over quickly for five. I mean, Texas is not around the corner from Florida either.
But it's just that they've had opportunities, which, to be fair, in South Africa, would have been difficult. Things were closing down for them. And we really wanted, like all parents, you want to give your kids the best opportunity to set themselves up in the world. So they've done that. And now we've been empty nesters for, 4 or 5 years? And we have a little, hopefully we're just busy buying a condo on the beach so we can sit there and check the waves out.
I was going to ask, because I mean, if you're in Miami, you don't want to be inland.
Obviously,
it's an incredible place to live. But fortunately, we get the chance to come back here to Namibia and also to South Africa. I miss 3, 4 times, 5 times a year sometimes.
Yeah, for all my work in tourism and investment consulting, as with the NIPDB, as well as with the Altair Enlist. And then obviously my family lives in Swakopmund, my sister and my parents, so it's just great to come back.
They're still doing well?
Absolutely, yeah, fantastic. My dad is still a chiropractor, you know, in his late 70s, turning 80 soon. So it's fantastic, yes.
Well, I think the kind of person that I know of him, he's not one of those who can retire and go and sit down. He's got to kind of keep going. He's a kind of a driven individual. Yeah. But he also, I mean, he loves what he does, I suppose. So then it makes it easier to work longer. Yeah. And then, you know, if you work for the Spoorwegia or the railways, and you just want to get to 55, it doesn't matter. Okay, so I saw on your CV, which I kind of had to just go and check, so I was talking a little bit, it actually says that you were in a movie. Tell us about that.
I was in a movie? No, I think that was mistaken. It's in Wikipedia. It says that I did an ice skating movie. I don't ice skate, and I have not actually acted in movies.
Because I know you
did acting for a while in Los Angeles many years ago.
Oh, wow.
But I can't have a claim to
you
fame.
You skating at 6'1", I'd love to see
that.
Bambi on ice, that would be.
Bambi on ice, exactly.
All right, but
I'd love to be in a movie. And in fact, the movie industry here in Namibia is really taking off.
It is. Yeah.
And we are very close to building a film studio. So that's on the cards.
Have you got a finger in the pie there? You sort of have a bit of inside information?
Yes, certainly do.
Oh, wonderful. But well, if we look at the Michelle McLean Children's Trust, mm-hmm. that has been going for decades mm-hmm. and does such good work, and a school now, which I believe is 800 plus learners there now.
1,200 children.
Is it Michelle McLean
Primary
already?
School in Ochimuza. Wow. So it's still going strong. We built it in 2000. And we've got a hospital ward. We've got many other projects sure. that we do around the country still. We used to have financial skills programs, yeah, entrepreneurship yeah. programs. So we'll continue doing those projects.
That's what I'm trying to get at in a roundabout way, is those still up and running very well. So do the film thing for us. We need something that has longevity, right? Because you seem to be, whatever you do, last for a long time.
Oh,
all right,
thanks.
So you do a lot of charity work. We know about that. You've connected with business here as well. And what else are you, public speaking, I think, is one of your things as well, right?
Yeah, I do a lot of emceeing, public okay. speaking, but more so now with the investment consulting with NIPDB,
okay. yeah.
promoting the country with tourism, as well as bringing investors into the country. And then obviously working on projects like the film studios.
Yeah, yeah.
And then with Altivan List, being able to promote some of our products from Namibia overseas in America.
Sure.
We're going to be exporting lamb very soon.
Wow.
So that's really, really exciting.
To the States.
To the States.
Sure.
So
that, I mean, that's a difficult market to get into because,
certainly,
you know,
very competitive.
They virtually have everything there anyway. For example, you can't send beef there.
Mm-mm.
Texas is beef. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and then of course you have South America, which is a little bit closer than us. So yeah, it is a very difficult market to get into.
But it's a niche market. And also the fact that Namibia, you know, we have free roaming, hormone-free meat.
Sure.
It really is a wonderful story and narrative yeah. to give to the Americans because they just love that kind of, you know, kind of.
And just, you know what's interesting as well is that in the 10 years we've been there, I think the first 4 or 5 years, we won the speaker circuit together.
Yeah.
But we found that there was just way more famous people in America than we were. So it was, yeah. it was a hard,
we
it was a hard
the Z-list celebrity.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We might have been A-list in Southern Africa, but yeah, yeah.
But yeah, suddenly the pond is a hell of a lot
sure,
bigger.
Sure, just a bit. And what we realized, especially for Mish, is that America is this massive market that Namibia doesn't really have much involvement in. It's certainly got involvement with the German market or the European,
yeah, yeah.
but not. And the US is the biggest market in the world. And slowly business opportunities started becoming obvious to us that, you know, why isn't Namibia yeah. selling land? Why isn't Namibia doing this? Why,
sure.
you know, why they're not getting investors? Why they're not getting more visitors coming into the game parks, etc.? And so, and I'm speaking on Mish's behalf in a way here, but she's morphed from the beauty industry more
yeah.
to being a very, very serious businesswoman who is representing Namibian companies in America
yeah,
and opening
yeah.
the door, because it made me initially laugh and then has actually worried me that nobody knows Namibia in the USA.
Sure.
They actually don't know it.
Well,
they know
yeah.
more. The word Kalahari means a lot more to Americans than Namibia does. So it
yeah.
needed somebody to actually start selling Namibia as a country, and Misha's got herself in a great position to do that.
Well, that's one of the sources of great frustration for us on this side. When you meet somebody from the States and you think, we think you would know about us.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, somebody in a field that we are directly linked with, and they have no idea. And we're like, somebody should be there ringing the bell because we have so much going on.
Yeah,
there's quite a push on this side to move away from trying to be this massively industrialized third world country. Why? You can't compete with the first world with that. But if you look outside and the natural beauty, that's ours and ours only.
Right,
why are we not selling more of
absolutely.
That?
Absolutely. But we have something very unique with the green hydrogen being, you
that's
know,
also
we've got
a big
the highest
thing, yeah?
DNI in the world here in Namibia besides
yeah.
Chile, as well as the wind
DMI
combination.
Yes.
The sun
yeah,
solar energy.
Solar energy, number of sunny days per year kind of thing, yeah?
Yeah, so we've got that as an export. And then obviously we've got, you know, the finding of oil, which is going to be great
yeah.
for the country and really
yeah.
will help with the economy.
Of course,
So even though there's you know, people poo-hooing the whole, oh, well, you know, it's going to create havoc for the country, I think it really is going to be an opportunity for the country to be put on the world map as real big players.
Sure.
And obviously the green hydrogen. And then more and more visitors are coming. We certainly have seen that with Americans. More and more Americans have heard about Namibia And so to grow our tourism industry is really, really important for the country.
I mean, the thing is, you know, you see that with Kenya, for example. They did a massive thing in the late 80s, early 90s, a real drive overseas. Mm. And now they're still seeing the benefit because it keeps growing. But it gave, they gave themselves this massive jump up. Mm. And that's what we need to do.
Yeah,
I know the local the local tourism guys are working on it to be at more events overseas and that sort of thing. But it does take time. It does take money. And unfortunately, it's not always the priority from the top, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Not always.
But there is a simple solution to it, and that's what you mentioned, the movies. And and we know we look at Netflix, for example. We watched a movie set in Belgium recently. There was one in Holland. There's one in Turkey. These countries are all selling themselves through the movies and shows.
Yeah, exactly.
South Africa does it really well. And I'm not so sure you have to spend $1 zillion going to every single sort of trade show in America.
Yeah.
You simply have to create a movie industry. And Mish knows the people in Hollywood. You can bring people here, but they won't come here if they don't get a good deal.
Good incentives.
That's massive because, I mean, it's a beautiful country. It's exceptional with the desert and all that. And it's amazing to think that Mad Max was shot here. And to everybody, it was shot in Australia.
Automatically, you assume when there's a desert, it's the outback.
It's either New Mexico in the States or it's Australia, because no one knows that Namibia exists or has a desert. To me, if Mish and NRPDB and everyone else involved there can get this thing off the ground and we start seeing movies where Namibia is mentioned and there's desert elephants and lions or something unusual, there's a lot of history in this country that I think people would find some great stories they could write around it. That's when people in America go, oh, I know Namibia. It's the place where that movie was shot, or this happened, or that happened. It's a hell of a lot cheaper than trying to buy advertising or traipsing off to Texas for trade shows.
No, but the point is also people, I mean, that's one of the things we see now in the media. People don't trust advertising anymore. It's not like you have my best, ideas at heart.
Mm-hmm.
You're seeing the best of it. And that kind of has a lot to do with movies as well. These days, when you see movies, you sometimes only see the best of it in five minutes. You've seen the trailer, you kind of seen the best of the movie. So, it's one of those things in media, but you need to get out and about. And you're so well, I mean, I'm going to be terrible now because it's going to sound as if I am actually a... I'm buying into that whole thing of footballers are stupid, which of course is true.
But like beauty queens are stupid as well, right?
You see,
that's why we got together. We're sharing a brain.
but it's so great to hear people speak like that, especially people who are there, because that is, you know, it's a source of massive frustration for us. But it's also a case of who do you get out there? You guys are well spoken, you are well known, and that's unfortunately also not always what we see on that side. So there we go. You guys have got new roles now. I mean, I'm pretty sure you do.
Well, Mish
anyway.
Has. I'm just a support role.
Well,
although you know what, I've got to tell you, we were on TV this morning, and the guy introducing us said, "It's Gary Bailey from Man United and his wife." And I went, "Yes, that's how it should be in Namibia from now on."
They had to do that for his ego, you know.
Yeah, because normally it's Michelle McLean and her husband.
Yeah, it's tough to do. You know what I'm saying? But luckily, the both of you are high profile. Sometimes it's you, sometimes it's me, kind of thing, right? Okay, so very briefly. What lies ahead? I mean, what have you guys got coming up, big projects wise? I know you're still involved, obviously, with your satellite television that you're doing commentary for, and football there is becoming really big. Soccer in the States is really taking off, right?
Oh, it's huge, especially in our area with Messi having moved in, and now there's Messi, Suarez, Busquets, Alba all playing for Inter Miami.
Sure.
I mean, but soccer is now probably the third biggest sport in America. It's probably surpassed baseball now.
It's incredible. But I mean, that's a truly international sport, sport, and baseball isn't really. I mean, it's Japan, Cuba, and the States you play.
It's just Americans are so used to lots of scores. So for them to watch a 0-0 game, they haven't been able to get their head around it. But they're beginning to learn. They're beginning to have songs that they sing at games, the more the European
style. That's always
nice,
because I know they love the fact that you can always take clips on YouTube and watch, you know, the British clubs take each other out and all that. They love that. But that's of course what makes football what it is. That whole history, and they're building a history now.
Yeah, and they're building a lot of clubs. So I do a lot of commentary on the second division, the USL, and that's now sitting at nearly 40
clubs.
So
they have a second division as
They have all the way down to four divisions.
To four divisions.
But even the second divisions are pulling 10,000, 15,000 per game. Of course, at the top level, especially since Messi's arrived, the MLS has gone crazy. And I do a lot of commentary for the NWSL, which is the Women's League, which is surprisingly good.
Well, the women have been world champions, not this time around, but they've been... Megan Rapinoe is sometimes a very controversial figure, but the fact is she's in the news.
Yeah.
And because she's in the news, and of course the whole pay dispute that was up there. I think a lot of attention's been drawn to football, to soccer. Yeah. Some of it negative, but I mean, that's an aside. People are getting into the whole... get out there, support the teams, even though it's on TV. And that was always the big thing in the UK.
Yeah.
It is on TV, but they want to be there. You want to be in the stands. You want to be with the crowd.
Sure, sure. So it's great. It's very exciting, the whole soccer thing. I've done commentary on French and Spanish and Italian games, etc. But mine's pretty solid now. My life is sort of around the soccer commentary and then coming here to support Mish. But I think the really exciting part is Mish's trust, because we're trying to raise money now in the US. And the thing about the US, they get a bad rap for a lot of things they do overseas politically. And, but when it comes to raising money, the Americans are very giving.
They're very generous.
You know, and it's hard to come here, and I'm talking on Mish's behalf, but have golf days and raise money from corporates here who are struggling to pay wages and all that. Whereas in America, you can get... I mean, tons of money that can build a lot of schools. And I think that's now.
And of course, it's 20 to 1. You're working with an exchange rate that is beneficial, you know?
It's going to be so valuable here for Namibia, So the Children Trust is always my passion. I love it.
Sure, but I mean, it's just so nice to see that it's still going strong and people still talk about it. What have you got in the pipeline, apart now from what you're doing at the moment?
So, that's pretty much it. You know, to be able to sell Namibian meat in America through Old Hive and List, to be able to promote the country for tourism and investment. So that's ongoing thing. And we get to come back here every couple of months, which is fantastic. So we get the best of both worlds.
I hope they ask you, I'm talking now from the government's perspective, they might ask you and say, listen, what can we do to make Namibia more sellable? Not only that, but perhaps... you know, bringing people over, because I know there are a lot of international companies who want to come here, but they find the red tape to try and get going. And being an entrepreneur here is very difficult. The paperwork, the amount of time that it takes to get stuff done. So, you know, that would be nice if they would ask you and say, listen, what are you hearing? What are people saying who want to perhaps do business here and are battling?
Well, through the NIPDB, we've been doing a lot of work to promote Namibia. You know, that there are new measures being put in place for incentives to attract more investors into the country. And I work on, as the chairperson for the Brand Ambassadors Program, so creating the brand ambassadors within Namibia and those Namibians living outside of Namibia, promoting Namibia and the various opportunities from tourism right through to investment.
Great.
This country is so easy to talk about, so easy to sell, because it's just fantastic. And the infrastructure is incredible here. We're one of the safest countries, you know, if not in Africa, in the whole world. So we've got so much going for us.
We kind of sit living here with a bit of a dichotomy, because on the one hand, you love being here, but you don't want to tell people about it in case it gets crowded.
Yeah, it's
but
a best kept secret, right?
Don't tell people. But on the other hand, of course, you know, we need exposure. Look, I mean, you guys have driven around. Need is getting worse here. Unfortunately, there's a lot of space for improvement. And we all do our best, obviously, as far as we can. But there's space here for international intervention, business-wise and all that. You know, there's a lot of work to be done here.
Yeah.
And people are battling.
But important is also to ensure that our education system is constantly being looked after. And that's why the Children Trust and Michelle McLean Children Trust is so important, because that will help us with the unemployment issue that we have in our country.
Sure.
And that really is a dire situation. So we need to address that.
I think it's important not to put out a hand and say countries help us. Is to say we're going to help ourselves for example, Portugal had a golden visa and people poured into Portugal with money. And now they've had to stop it. So you look at what can Namibia do. Yeah. And there's a lot of clever people working at NIPDB and working in private enterprise and at government level who can make it happen. It's just, as you say, occasionally there's a bit of red tape you've got to get through. And those are processes you have to work through. But I would say that if as a first step, if this country and through NIPDB, they can get a movie house set up and entice people into this country with good tax breaks, the sort of tax breaks you get all around the world, just copy it,
exactly.
Copy and paste, and start to show something that Namibia is going to make its own money through entrepreneurship, through bringing in skills and investment the right way, and make it quick and easy for these people, and then take that money and build schools and build the education.
Sure.
Because I think some African countries have tried in the past to say, well, we haven't got money, somebody help us. And I think the world is past that, and I think Namibia doesn't need to do that. It's got so much
skills and talent. Teach a person to fish philosophy as opposed to giving them a fish. No, you're 100% right. And there's also a lot of donor apathy now. You know, people just say, listen, it's just give. What are you doing for yourself? So you're 100% right. Yeah. It's been an absolute pleasure. I know more people want to talk to you, so I'm going to let you go now. But it's been an absolute pleasure catching up with you. And thank you for the work that you do. I think we should say that because it's very undercover. Nobody's aware of it, but I think you guys are passionate about it. And that it is worth millions just in terms of money you spend.
Well, we're very lucky that we're both like-minded and we have the same hearts and passion for, you know, for the world. So, and I have to say, I was recently at Manchester, Manchester with Gary.
Last weekend.
And what a legend Gary is. I mean, we watched the game there.
Do they still crowd you when you walk across, you know, when you're at a game?
We had to go into a pub before, so that's where they sing all their songs and everything. People coming over to Gary. He was actually an interview evening that we had. And what a legend. We forget someone like Gary has played at that level.
Just to bear in mind, it was all the people over 50 who recognized me. Let's not get this wrong. It was the old timers when I remember you way back when.
But it's amazing though, even locally. The three teams that we always carry in sport, and I do the sport, you have to carry Man U, Liverpool and Chelsea, and those are basically the three. Some other clubs, Barcelona and them internationally, but those three, if they played and you don't carry in the news bullies, there's trouble. People phone you like, listen, don't you have a TV? What happened? So it's still hugely popular. I mean, Man United is, but it's not even a club. I mean, it's a force in the sense.
It's an institution, fortunately, with Sir Jim Ratcliffe taking over. The good days are hopefully on the way back.
Yeah, on the way back. He's only bought a portion of it though, right?
Yeah, but he's in control of it. So he's just poached the Man City CEO and brought him to Old Trafford. So the very first
and Man City's done, they've done really well for themselves. They've done amazing.
They've done incredibly well. So, but thanks, Dion, for the invite. Really appreciate it. And I want to know some stories about Michelle from school. You and I will chat later.
Yeah, but we'll need to go to a pub at some point because you can join us after an hour or so. They're not that many stories.
Well, I was hardly ever at school because I was modelling overseas for so long. So just
that,
so you
that
know.
Was part of it, right? Because you know, girls can be a bit on the catty side. It's like, she's not here again. What makes her so special? We could tell you. As teenage boys, we could tell you what made her special. But, all right, we're going to catch up with some football in a short while, and then you can go and have a break and have a coffee or something.
Okay.
But the voices of Gary Bailey, Mr. Michelle McLean, and also Michelle McLean Bailey, Mrs. Gary Bailey. Nice talking to you. Lovely, and thanks. Keep up the good work.
Thanks, Dion. Appreciate it.
It's great. Thank you.